This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Joy 94.9.
This is Gay News Week on Joy 94.9.
Have your say. 1300 Joy 949.
Gay News Week.
Gay News Week on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
Good evening and welcome to Gay News Week on Joy 94.9 with Jeffrey, Sammy and Matt.
Here at Gay News Week, we aim to cover topics that have been in the news over the past week and how they impact on you, us and our community.
On tonight's show, we're going to talk about the Wear It Purple campaign, what that involves and what you can do to participate. We're going to talk about Beyond Blue's new campaign launch, and that happened today in Sydney and a media launch was here in Melbourne yesterday. We're going to do our usual Icon of the Week and Media Watch segments. So if at any time you want to get in contact with us and participate, this is how you would do that.
You're listening to the Gay Newsweek podcast with Sammy, Jeffrey and Matt. Get in touch. Email gaynewsweek@joy.org.au or check out joy.org.au/gaynewsweek for all of the links to our social media pages.
But first, this Friday, the 7th of September, is Wear It Purple Day. Wear It Purple Day is a growing worldwide effort which aims at raising public awareness of issues surrounding GLBTIQ suicide. The Wear It Purple organisation was formed following a series of cases of GLBTIQ youth suicide in the United States in 2010. We spoke to the Schools and Education Coordinator for Wear It Purple earlier today.
Gay News Week on Joy 94.9. Jeffrey, Sammy and Matt. We're joined on the line by Jade Ellis from Wear It Purple, Head of Education and Schools. Good afternoon.
Hi there.
First of all, Jade, where has the Wear It Purple organisation come from and how did it originate?
Wear It Purple started, so in 2010 there were a series of reports that came in about young people who had been bullied based on their sexuality and or gender identity to a point that they couldn't handle and they tragically took their lives. And there was a bunch of us young people that gathered together and decided that one life had been lost, that was one too many, and we needed to do something about it. So we decided to ask people everywhere to wear purple to show that in solidarity we wouldn't stand for bullying anymore, and then we supported these young people just as they were.
So is this the second or third year that Wear It Purple Day has been around?
So this is the third Wear It Purple Day that we've had now.
So Jade, why did you pick the colour purple?
Purple is a colour that a lot of people associate with royalty, and I think when you see the colour purple, you know that it's something to be respected. And so we wanted these young people to know that they were worthy of just as much respect as their peers and as the rest of the community. So we've developed that and just encouraged people to use the colour however they wanted to be creative with it. We see lots of different things happening on Wear It Purple Day and it's all very exciting.
What sort of things?
Well, the last couple of years it's largely been schools, students pretty much cutting up little bits of ribbon and taking it to their schools and their peers and asking them to wear it as a badge. This year we've got bigger and better and we have purple wristbands, and so we've had Facebook design competitions and people have brought in some amazing entries and we've got some wristbands. The New South Wales Police have so kindly funded them for us to give out. So we've got 6,000 of them in circulation and the stores are pretty much empty now. There's a lot of people wearing them. We've got lots of events happening in schools and they're pretty much painting their entire school purple. So they're doing things like creating walls of purple heart where students and staff are encouraged to write messages of support and putting them around the walls. We've got events happening at university, like nightclubs and bars to show that just not inside schools we're supportive, but also outside of that.
So what is your history with the organisation? How did you come to be involved?
So I came along after the very first Wear It Purple Day had happened, and I met Scott Williams, who was one of the co-founders, and we became friends and we started talking about what he was doing. And I'm studying to be a PDHBE teacher, so I'm really aware and really passionate about teaching students about health and about health as a holistic entity where they have the right in schools to grow and to learn to be individuals. So I decided that I wanted to be involved and saw the need in schools to encourage education about sexuality and gender diversity so that young people could grow in to be themselves and feel like they didn't have to be someone they weren't. So I joined the team.
So is this an international organisation or is it something that you're just doing in Australia?
Well, I mean, we started in Sydney and in the very first year of its inception, it reached over to the States. Just last night, I got an email from someone in Italy Italy saying that they really wanted to be a part of organising Wear It Purple in Italy. And, you know, it's 2 days away, so that's kind of late notice for us. But we definitely have banded into reaching that far. I mean, I think social media has definitely helped that. So as of the first year, without anyone really trying, it's gone international. So while we're based in Sydney and our resources are largely here at present, we're trying really hard to expand further across the country for next year and then definitely internationally as far as we can get.
So, Jade, what's the ultimate goal of what does Wear It Purple want to achieve?
Wear It Purple wants to achieve a world that's safe for all young people to be themselves. So we believe that everyone has the right to be proud of who they are, and we want to create environments where everyone can do that safely, where they don't feel like they have to be someone that they're not to fit in, where their peers, their communities around them will respect them and support them for who they are and not expect them to have to change or anything. So in doing that, we want to increase our understanding and education about sexuality and gender diversity so that these young people can be respected and that no one thinks that there's anything different about them.
So Wear It Purple Day is this Friday, the 7th of September. How do people get involved in that, and how can they get involved with the organisation and contact you?
So a lot of what we're doing is just really encouraging people to wear purple and to tell those around them why it is that they're wearing purple, to tell them why they respect and support rainbow young people. So that's the first way. We also recognise that there's so many young people that won't have people wearing purple in their immediate environment. So for them, we're doing a really big online focus, and we're asking people to join the Facebook group and the Facebook event, which is Wear It Purple Day 2012, to show how many people are supporting them, not just around, not in their immediate environment. We also are going to do a really big photo gallery of people everywhere sending in photos of what they're doing on Wear It Purple Day. So we'd love as many additions to that as possible so that rainbow young people who may not have support directly around them will know just how many people love and support and respect them.
And Jade, what was the website that we can go to for more information, or is it the Facebook the best?
Both. So wearitpurple.org and Wear It Purple on Facebook. So it's WEAR, it's the colour purple.
Excellent. Thank you. Jade Ellis, the Schools and Education Coordinator from Wear It Purple. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much, guys.
Joy 94.9.
It's a great campaign supporting rainbow young people, particularly in schools. It's a great and growing movement, and it's pretty visual. So I'm happy to support it.
Yeah, that is one thing that I like about this one, is because the colour purple, it's relatable to everyone, and it's not just talking to people. It's this colour that people are confronted with and go, oh, okay, Wear It Purple. I'm making that kind of connection between the cause and the colour.
That's right. And of course, you know, you're seeing large amounts of students or people in the one area wearing the same colour. Mm. People in the broader community are going to be forced, you know, to eventually ask that question, you know, is something going on? Why is the sea of purple around? Mm. And it also gives people a little bit more awareness about the things that are faced by the youth in our community. And something that's so important, you know, another person that's been really heavily involved with this in the States has been Ellen DeGeneres. And she brought a lot of this to the front after the really sad death of course, the gentleman who threw himself off, it was a very sad thing in New Jersey. So she has come to it and basically said the youth need to support our youth. We need to be aware that this is a really serious issue.
There are certainly a number of campaigns around all of this that are growing, and I think Wear It Purple's important. I think It Gets Better is important, mm-hmm. and I think there's a whole slew of campaigns that are coming out there, particularly targeting young people, and we're going to be talking about some more of those later in the show. But I think this is great that we are trying to prevent depression and suicide and promote staying alive among young people.
Yeah, especially at that high school level where so many people, we're getting so many cases of young people becoming depressed, having this anxiety about their sexuality and about who they are, and it's really important to target them there at that stage.
Yes, it's great to be able to see the awareness out there, and also it's very important of us giving the support.
You're listening to Gay Newsweek on Joy 94.9.
Today was the national launch of Beyond Blue's Stop, Think, Respect campaign, which is working towards reducing anxiety and depression within the GLBTIQ community. Beyond Blue has produced a series of videos to be screened on TV and also in cinemas around the country. At the launch, Chairman Jeff Kennett said Beyond Blue research shows that discrimination and bullying are major contributing factors to depression, anxiety and risk of suicide.
Certainly Beyond Blue has been a little slow, some might say, to the party of anxiety and depression within the GLBTI community, and Jeff Kennett as their chairman has made a few negative comments over the years. He was stating that he was misquoted in an article that he wrote himself and had published in a newspaper criticising gay families. And so there's this background of Beyond Blue not being the forerunner in anxiety and depression management for gay and lesbian young people. But as of last year, immediately following these comments by Jeff, they initiated a study looking at anxiety and depression in GLBTI young people, and then have brought out that study, its results, and moved forward to this campaign, which I think we will all agree is a great step forward. So this organisation has made a great learning trajectory towards slow to the mark to really supporting our community.
Hmm. What I really like is this 2-minute TV commercial that should be screened that is being screened nationally. It doesn't really work too well with radio as a medium because it's a lot of visual things. But I can run you down just quickly what kind of things appear in the ad. There's a teenage boy and he's happy at home. He's having breakfast. It would appear he's enjoying himself until his mum kind of says, "What are you doing? You need to go to school." And then he kind of has this look of anxiety on his face that really shows that something's going on, and then it cuts to a scene at the school where he's being bullied, and there's teenage boys, they're yelling out to him, "You're a freak," or all this stuff. And then also he opens his locker and he has a note in his locker saying "left hand freak," and then there's the teacher that in the classroom says his handwriting needs to be neater because he's struggling with his right hand, and then there's the family dinner, "He's doing it again, why can't you just be normal," the dad says. And also in the school, so in a woodwork class that he's being harassed. And I just want to play a little bit of the end here, where you can kind of hear what kind of things are happening in the commercial.
Lefty!
Lefty!
Freak, lefty!
Mate, how's it going, mate?
Let me alone!
Freak, boy! Get
close, mate!
Smash it! Smash it!
You're bloody serious!
Do it!
Do it!
Bloody hell.
Lucky! You're lucky!
Hey, you shouldn't worry what people think. You should just be yourself.
I think it's getting worse.
Imagine being made to feel like crap just for being yourself.
This left hand thing, I mean, maybe it's just a phase.
It's the same for gay, lesbian, bi, trans, and intersex people. The things we say and do cause anxiety and depression.
Joy 94.9.
It's a very moving ad. Now, I was at the media launch last night. Now, this ad campaign will actually be played. There's between a 2-minute and 5-minute different types of ads, which were this one, the 2-minute one is actually built for cinema. There'll be 30-second campaigns played on the television. There will also be visual campaigns. So they'll be putting posters up in bus shelters, which will be very interesting to see what areas they'll be targeting for those. And also a very big social media campaign that'll be rolled out.
I want to make the point, especially with these TV commercials, the 2-minute cinema commercials, I should say. It's really interesting to show that I think they're really powerful, how they're showing that the discrimination that someone could experience from, say, being left-handed, and it kind of makes it open to everybody and to understand what it's like to be bullied for being gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender or intersex.
I think using the metaphor, if you like, of being left-handed is really useful because it connects the person with the ad without actually using the term gay or lesbian or any of the other terms, and therefore I think would keep people interested in the ad to find out what it's about because it's curious. And I think that would prevent people from turning off to the ad if they weren't immediately on board with the message or the image.
The thing that I very much like about this, and I know there will be some people that will be criticising it because it can be a little bit left field. You have to actually stop and think about the message that's actually coming across. But the reality is this advertising campaign is from Beyond Blue. So it's about people's mental health. It's about protecting the mental health of not only our youth, but members of our community. Mm-hmm. And we don't need to hear that language that is used in a discriminatory way towards us to make an impact. Because we hear that language, and to hear that language on a television commercial is only going to bring back the discrimination that we face in our community. So I really like the approach of it, and I really like the way that it's been put.
And it's really interesting because people are going to watch this ad and say, "Oh, that's absolutely preposterous, the fact, oh, why would anyone discriminate someone against someone for being left-handed?" And it has that kind of effect that people go, oh, this is absolutely crazy. And then when you find out at the end that, hey, this is happening to gay and lesbian people for just who they are, it's just relating the two issues.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that the message will be translatable and people saying, listen, I can't imagine you would discriminate against someone, and then to translate that into gay terms is really important, particularly if they've held on with the ad till the end. And I think that's the point at which we need to hope they are on board with.
And of course, this is they're saying that this is the first stage of a major campaign that Beyond Blue are rolling out. So this is a very great start for this. Now, this actually came to fruition through a GLBTI focus group, which there was quite a lot of people involved with this, including Dr. Ruth McNair, who is extremely well known. Several members of the Joy community were involved, and a lot of other general members of our community and the broader community in working out the best way for this to actually impact. So they've said that the campaign is to highlight in subtlety the discrimination that we face on a daily basis.
In terms of timing, it's important to recognise that the scoping study for this came out immediately after Jeff Kennett's comments, and then the comments that he made when he came in here to Joy to do a interview with then-President David McCarthy to try and backtrack some of his statements. So whether there's a connection or whether they had this path decided isn't clear. But moving beyond that, when we look at the study, we have to remember that it was a relatively small study, so they've come up with some pretty strong findings and a pretty strong message out of what was a fairly small study. So kudos to them.
As part of this campaign as well, there's a few pieces, they're 5 to 6 minute pieces, talking to people about their experiences with harassment and bullying and depression of caused by bullying because they are GLBTIQ. One of the pieces that I found really interesting was one from Sally Goldner, and let's listen to her story now.
Hi, I'm Sally. I'm an animal lover, a music lover, and a music lover of all kinds, and both kinds, country and western, but hey, don't hold that against me, all right? I think that going back in terms of the types of discrimination that I faced is that in the first part of my life, I went to an all-boys school, and it was very much expected that you would be the sporting hero, that you would be masculine, not show emotions, not sensitive. And so there was this, we'll say, feminine and or female part wanting to express itself, but that was not a good or safe place to do it. And I copped a lot of stigma and a lot of bullying in particular for pretty much all of years 7 and 8 for not being, we'll say, the standard masculine male. Particular examples of discrimination. I mean, well, that's maybe because, you know, obviously early on I did experience discrimination, that people sort of denying who I am. And one that was really critical was when I got to the really critical point of needing help after trying to shove aside the truth about my gender identity for years. I did go to a health professional who tried so-called conversion therapy on me, which is probably about as discriminatory as it could get, because at that point I was at a pretty low state. I had no, to be honest, real self-esteem. And at the time I needed it most, I was actually being pushed back, pushed further in the wrong direction, further away from who I was. And that was, you know, quite horrendous. There's one, and it's a difficult one to talk about, in that one day or evening, to be precise, I was driving in my car, minding my own business, and two people, I was stopped at a set of lights, two pedestrians came across in front of me and for some reason started banging on my car, yelling at me, which was sort of, you know, I was a bit shaken by that. So when the lights changed and I moved off and I realised I was shaken, I pulled over to the side of the road. And the next thing I knew, and, you know, this is really, you know, obviously distressing to recount, but also, you know, I can understand that people hearing this might be distressed, that one of the pedestrians put his fist through the closed driver's side window and shattered it, punched me in the side of the head and face six times and just walked off. And I spent the night in the emergency ward of a public hospital. And the other situation that I still can't deal with is I won't go to the footy. Because after I came out and was for living 2.5 years, we'll say, before making a permanent transition, when I was going and hearing phrases like, "Oh, you're playing like a girl, you're playing like a poofter," that was really off-putting when I was still, say, at a somewhat tender stage. And, you know, come on, to deny someone going to the footy and doing ball, yes. You know, that's not Australian to deny someone that. So I think, you know, I really would like to see some change in that and to be able to go along and cheer my team. I won't say which one it is so that we can keep 16 out of 16 people and not lose 15 out of 16 of our listeners. Discrimination's really has impacted on me in terms of mental health, depression, that sort of thing, because, you know, how can it help to have a really critical part of you being devalued and often really severely to be told, oh, you're not really who you are, you don't know your own life. I'd really love it where it got to a situation where a transgender person or anyone who identifies as gay or needs to identify as gay or lesbian or bisexual or intersex as well could walk into any health professional in Australia and know that they're going to get a basic level of support. Because what happened to me with the first health professional who was doing very much the wrong thing was that the only thing that saved me was I had a supportive friend. The person I spoke to put me through to a psychologist who said, look, I can't help you, but I know someone who's just done their master's in sexuality and gender and could. And that was the turning point, which was great. I think if the world didn't have discrimination against transgender and similar groups, I think it would be amazing. And one of my big personal transgender heroines is a woman by the name of Lynn Conway. And she basically made a significant breakthrough in multiprocessing in computers. We would not have any of the computers, laptops and smartphones that we have now without her. So, and she had to go through discrimination. So if we didn't have the discrimination, we might have a heck of a lot more genius and amazement in the world, which would be fantastic.
Hi, I'm Tanya Plibersek on Gay Newsweek with Sammy, Jeffrey and Matt on Joy 94.9.
That was Sally, who had her piece in the Stop Think Respect campaign, which is Beyond Blue's new campaign. We have Sally on the line, and Sally is the spokesperson for Transgender Victoria and has been involved with these campaigns for a long time. So, hello, Sally.
Hey, gang. How's it going?
Very good. Now, Sally, can you let us know how you became involved in this amazing Beyond Blue campaign?
I first heard about it back in about April, I suppose, we'll say from the behind-the-scenes viewpoint, in that a group of people were asked to advise on, well, the behind-the-scenes part of this campaign, because obviously if people are going to look for support, they wanted to know where to do it. So that was where I first heard about it. But then the call went out, I think it was about June, for people to be more on the sort of public side of it. And I thought, I was a bit hesitant, but I thought I'd put my hand up. And whilst I was hesitant, I'm really glad I did, because I think that the piece that, you know, people just heard the audio for, and along with the other five pieces, I think are going to make a really big difference to helping to change, you know, prejudiced attitudes to a more positive stance.
Yeah, it's a really changing campaign in itself. But I believe you've also been a part of the No to Homophobia campaign. Is that right?
Well, that's right. It's, you know, sort of, it's one of those the universe coming together sort of things that both these campaigns have launched within a week of one another, give or take. And that one started back in 2009 as a partnership between also Transgender Victoria, Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby, and the Anti-Violence Project of Victoria. And that one, you know, has taken a slightly different angle than it's looked at, we'll say, situations of homophobia, biphobia and transphobia. And, you know, then the Beyond Blue ones come along and look at the personal story. So they just sort of, you know, two pieces of jigsaw puzzle that fit together really nicely will make a huge difference. And really put the emphasis on, you know, the No to Homophobia one puts the emphasis on building allies and saying, hey, it's not just up to GLBTI people, but if you're a, in very simple terms, a straight person in, say, that office environment or whatever else it is, to make sure that you also might stamp out homophobia, transphobia, biphobia, as much as you would stamp out racism or sexism.
Yeah, the Beyond Blue campaign certainly involves a breadth of the GLBTI community, whereas the No to Homophobia campaign was a little more narrow, I think. What's your comment on that? And I think they're both great campaigns, but what's your response to that?
I think that there's been a bit of debate about the No to Homophobia campaign, particularly around intersex. I think the problem we had, that this, you know, that it has been my personal thoughts, so that it's 2.5 years in the making, and at the time there wasn't, whilst we obviously knew of people like Tony Briffer, of course, there wasn't quite the people available to be involved, and I think there was probably a reluctance to speak for people without their consent, and that not to have that group represented all the way through the campaign and then speak to them. I always have a bit of hesitancy about that. Maybe it's residual from where it's happened to trans people in the past. So, I can understand the point of view, but I think the thing that has come out of it is that there is actually, whilst it's still very early days yet, some people are looking to donate and keep the No to Homophobia campaign going in a new stage, and in which case, now that we have the availability of people, I'm pretty sure we'd tap into people like Tony Briffer or Gina Wilson, who also features in the Beyond Blue campaign representing intersex. I'm sure we'd be able to do that.
So, of course, I mean, it's the great thing with this is, we always talk about homophobia, and it's all about our community, the GLBTIQ community. So, how do you feel that, the importance of this to make sure that we include all parts of our community?
I think it is really important. Thinking a lot about this, obviously, in the last week, I think if you ask virtually anyone nowadays about gay or lesbian, they'd probably know what it means. They would say, gay equals guy in love with guy, in very simple terms, lesbian, gal in love with gal. But if you then said, what do bi, trans and intersex mean, people would probably be a little more hesitant or maybe not give quite, we'll say, from our point of view, an accurate answer. So to get those, people in there telling their stories, getting those scenarios talked about, it gives us that foot in the door, that conversation starter, which is really important to going on to the next level. So really, really important to have that. And, we want to keep doing it and keep it moving.
Are there any other things going on in the trans community? And you've got a long history as a leading activist in that community. And we've also talked earlier about the Wear It Purple Day. And do you have any thoughts on that as it includes members of the trans community and yourself?
I think there's been some pretty good inclusiveness on that, to my knowledge. And I think that's, I must admit, I have to probably do a little catching up to get full awareness, but I am aware of what it's involved, and I think, again, things that keep the issues being talked about are good. The other thing that's happened in the trans community, it's a few months ago now, but it is still important, is that about 20 of us gathered in Sydney a few months ago, trans and intersex, to have a roundtable to really formulate a detailed policy document that we can put under, we'll say, politicians and influential people's noses and saying, this is where things aren't right for us, this is what we want, these are what people can start doing now. And we're just finalising that, and it should be available publicly in the next few weeks. And that was under the auspices of the LGBTI Health Alliance. And so that's pretty historic. And I think we'd all know what we all wanted when we sort of voted on priorities. It was pretty clear results as to what trans people, we could wave a magic wand over governments for a day, what would we do? It was pretty clear cut, but this will really put it in a very clear position and make it very easy for everyone to see what our needs are. So that's been a really important development in the last few months as well.
Sally, we just want to thank you very much for joining us on the line, and we hope in the next couple of weeks you will have some time to join us in the studio and let us know what's been going on and how important this rollout has been for the broader community and also for the trans community as well.
Definitely. We'll keep in touch and have a longer chat somewhere down the track.
Sally, thank you very much for your time. You have been listening to Sally Goldner. If you'd like to see her video, make sure you check out the Beyond Blue website and their campaign.
You're listening to Gay Newsweek on Joy 94.9.
We just want to say a very special thank you to Sally Goldner for joining us on the line today. For more information about Transgender Victoria, it's transgendervictoria.com. Go to their website, find out a little bit more information about them and getting involved. Now, we've had some SMSs in this evening from Travis, who said, this is an outstanding campaign and should have been implemented decades ago. Even the language bash him and freak bring me back to 24 years ago when these things were yelled at me during the school years, left-handed and gay.
Thank you very much, Travis, for that feedback. Also, Kristen has texted in, fascinating and informative show to say the least, guys. Loving this show. Oh, thank you very much. Thank you for your feedback. We always appreciate it here at Gay Newsweek.
So we've got our Media Watch segment this evening. Now, I found this with great amusement today. There has been Family First's website in New Zealand, familyfirst.co.nz, failed to renew their domain name in time. So it actually lapsed. And
so what that means is, so you have to pay to have a website on the internet. So
yes.
For example, joy.org.au is paid for. So we hold the primary right to have that website and have our content on that link.
Exactly. So they didn't renew their website. And the really sad thing is someone found out about it and they paid for the website.
Who would that be, Sammy?
Marriage Equality. Now, Family First in New Zealand. Now, quite recently, of course, you know, with the marriage bill coming up at the New Zealand Parliament, Family First is basically the same here as Family First here. They're like the Australian Christian Lobby. They provided a document to Parliament with 50,000 signatures on it saying, no, 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 we don't want the gays to get married. Mm. Now, the really sad thing is they've now lost their website. So when you actually go to familyfirst.co.nz to put in a complaint about, no, we don't want the gays to get married, you automatically get redirected to marriageequality.co.nz with all of these pro-marriage messages. So,
wow.
Well done.
That's brilliant. Well Yay! Done to Marriage Equality in New Zealand, may
it's
I
one
say.
Of the smartest things I've heard in a long time. So I think a few of our marriage equality campaigns here in Australia should be looking at to the ACL websites and
out.
Family First websites. And like everything, we're going to take over the world.
I think all of the conservative websites will be looking at when they need to renew their domain name subscriptions, I think, as a result of this one.
Definitely.
Yes. So the next thing, and it's all about New Zealand, it seems, tonight, is a New Zealand doctor has linked syphilis epidemic to men using gay hookup apps, such as Grindr, which is the probably predominant one. But, yeah, there's been an outbreak of sexually transmitted infections as a result, they say at least, of gay hookup apps. Any thoughts about that, Sammy and Matt?
Well, you know, we seem to be getting blamed for pretty much everything, so bring it on. You know, and another thing, Matt, I believe that we're being blamed for at the moment is...
Oh, yeah. Well, obviously, we often have a lot of disastrous natural disasters around the world. And what's the latest one we're being blamed for? It's Hurricane Isaac in the United States. Of course. What else?
Like, we're pretty powerful after all.
Yeah. I never realised the gay and lesbian community had so much power in the world. It's crazy. Anyway, that's just another one.
So the news story about that is that gays get blamed for Hurricane Isaac. And it's been reported that for any number of reasons, including the annual Southern Decadence Gay and Lesbian Festival that occurs, which is in and around Florida and the like, that this hurricane has been sent to wipe us out.
Now, something else that's happening overseas at the moment, of course, and, you know, we will be covering this a little bit in the next couple of weeks, is the election is, of course, coming up in you know, one of the most dominant countries in the world. Of course, we're talking about America. Mm-hmm. Obama is, of course, running again, and he has shown to be a great supporter of our community.
That's right. He came out and said he believes gay and lesbian people should be allowed to get married, which is very commendable for him.
Absolutely. You know, he's done so much hard work, you know, rolling over the Don't Ask, Don't Tell. He stood up at the Human Rights Commission and said that, you know, gays and lesbians are our brothers and our sisters and they do deserve to be treated with respect.
That was an amazing speech. I actually watched that, and if you haven't seen it already, look it up.
And be prepared to be quite touched by it because it is amazing. Yeah. But Jeffrey, tell us about Obama's opposition.
We have stumbled across a gem, if you like, a gem of anti-gayness. A super PAC ad, and a super PAC, for those that aren't aware, are a highly funded, curiously well-funded organisation organisations in the US who put out ads about issues that can't be paid for directly by candidates. Let's have a listen to this one and then we'll discuss it further.
Hey, honey. How are you?
Fine, I guess.
What's going on?
Well, Obama is trying to force gay marriage on this country. That's not the change I voted for. Marriage is between a man and a woman.
That's not the change I voted for either.
What can we do?
We can vote for someone with values.
Campaign for American Values PAC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Joy 94.9.
Isn't that just awful?
I'm sorry, but a little bit of vomit was forming in my mouth. It was just like, Jeffrey, I cannot believe that you forced me to listen to that.
I know, and you had to listen to it at least twice in the preparation. And we've made everyone around the office here listen to that, and you can't believe the responses that we've had.
I wonder if this ad's actually going to, like, reach out to people. Like, are people actually going to listen to this and go, wow, they're right. How did I miss this?
Well, you know, this is one of the major selling points of his campaign, and you know, the gentleman that's actually leading as his vice president is very well known to be a great hater of our community. So they are definitely building a campaign against the gayness.
They are, and I suppose this is a way of getting a campaign going against us. And certainly, you know, the Institution for Tutti Frutti Values or whatever it was is going to be really well funded, and it's going to put out a lot of ads right across the United States over a lot of swing states in particular. So the Romney campaign has clearly made its position known about gay marriage.
Yes. Well, they're entitled to that, I guess.
Well, everybody's entitled, you know. It's, as they say in America, it's all about free speech, but, you know, some people that you wish weren't so free with their speech.
And funny free speech, I suppose, should be encouraged, because at least then we get a chance to giggle.
Well, you know, it's no fun if you can't take the piss. Anyway, moving along. Of course, with our gay icon of the week, we have actually two people that we would like to talk about. The first one is with the Olympics wrapping up, we have a Paralympian who is gay equestrian athlete Lee Pearson. Now, he actually has won 10 gold medals. He received a gold medal for the team event in the dressage at the Olympics, mm-hmm. and then received a bronze for his individual. Now,
good on him.
A lot of people were actually saying, oh, you know, we're expecting you to get another gold, blah, blah, blah. The reality is he's coming from a place where his horse is his athlete, mm-hmm. and he's been competing every second day to actually make it through to the finals. And it is pretty tough on the animals and on the athletes. So, you know, for him, he said that he's extremely proud of himself that he actually made it to a medal placing. And there was only two out gay athletes in the Paralympics, the other being a British Paralympian sitting volleyball captain, Claire Harvey.
And Pearson, as a little bit of backstory, was born with a condition which was congenital, which caused him to have muscles growing like scar tissue, which will mean that they can't expand and contract. And so he'll lack a lot of strength and a lot of dexterity as a result of that. And as only one of a couple of gay athletes, we have to commend him. 10 gold medals, being at the top for so long and achieving so much, is something that I think meets our criteria for icon of the week.
And of course, you know, the other person that we want to make a mention to is a lost member of our community that we lost quite a few years ago, whose birthday is today. Mm. And of course, it is Freddie Mercury, the lead singer of Queen.
Hi, this is Jennifer Cannis, and you're listening to Gay News Week on Joy 94.9.
We've had Sarah from Noble Park send us a message saying it's great to hear trans issues being talked about on the wireless.
Also, Phil from Caulfield says, was that joke an ad? That was, of course, the one we were talking about with Mitt Romney, these aren't the values that I voted for. We don't believe it was an ad, no.
It wasn't a comedy ad at all. It's actually linked to the GOP, which is the Republican Party website. So it's actually official content. So there you go.
It's crazy. Anyway, thank you very much to everyone who has contributed tonight. We always do appreciate it. This has been Gay News Week, but unfortunately, we have run out of time. If you'd like more information on Beyond Blue, which we spoke about tonight, Dean Beck on the line, tomorrow from 12 till 1. He'll be speaking about that, so definitely tune in. Also, Dean Beck has a question up on the Our Say website for Our Say is running a competition to ask a question to AFL chiefs about various issues. Dean Beck has got a question up there, so I definitely encourage you to go and have a look at that and maybe even vote for him. I'm sure he'd definitely appreciate that.
A very big thank you to everyone who joined in on the conversation tonight, and a very special thanks to our gorgeous darling producer, Matt Nock, who pushes our buttons as often as he can. And if any time during the week you wish to get in contact with us, suggest topics, email us at gaynewsweek.org.au or head to joy.org.au, and you can find all the links to our social media.
And if you want to listen to our podcast of this show or previous shows, that's available usually within a day or two. So look us up on the website. But until next week, we are Jeffrey and Sammy and Matt, and this is Gay News Week.
Here's news. They say no news is good news, right? But no news means no Gay News Week. And that would be bad news. Bad, bad news. So for news you can't refuse, choose Gay News. On Joy 94.9. Now there's something for you to muse.
That rhymes.
You've been listening to Gay Newsweek. Check out joy.org.au/gaynewsweek for all of the links on how you can keep up to date with the team on social media. And be sure to tune in next Wednesday from 7 p.m. right here on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.